thanks for joining us. We are going to unlock in 45 minutes the mystery of communication. We want this to be a very practical time. So hopefully you're kind of seen by your spouse, because you're actually going to have some time to do some practice and to walk through different things. But we want to just think about, how do we communicate? I was just talking with a couple a little bit earlier about fairly newly married, but just different things they were struggling with, or just different things they were walking through. And what we said with them, or what we kind of shared with them, Caleb, the marriage expert, is right beside me, so he can correct me here. But I said that what I'm hearing from you is a tension in your marriage. And I don't know if you should necessarily view it as fixable, but you should view it as, how do we communicate through it? Are you able to continue to have a communication channel open about this, that he can hear and that she can hear, and they can both feel heard and continue to talk it through? And I think sometimes in life, at least in my marriage, the situation has been just that. If we can talk about it, we're going to be okay. But that's easier said than done. And so tonight we're going to focus on just three different aspects of communication. We're going to talk about skills for clear communication, listening in order to hear, making clear requests, and contrasting to bring clarity. And you have a little card in front of you, which is your cheat sheet card, that you can end up taking with you, but that you're going to use. You're going to end up using that as you do your activities together. So I'm going to turn it over to Caleb, and Caleb's going to take the first skill here.
All right. Wonderful. So the first skill we're going to start with is listening in order to hear. And so oftentimes in our marriage relationship, by the way, for each of these, we're gonna spend 5 or so minutes just talking about the skill. Then we're gonna allow you to practice that skill together as a couple, and then we want to give opportunity to share out and to talk about it. Okay, and so so the first skill is listening in order to hear. Okay, so the goal is to understand the speaker. Okay. One of the fundamental skills that I would say invariably we walk through in marriage relationship is what they call as speaker-listener. Is how many of you have heard of that skill? I'm just curious. So there's a few. Yep. So the idea is to really slow down the conversation, to slow and soft. So think of two skills, slow and soft. Because oftentimes in communication, we begin to assume what our spouse is thinking, what they mean. And so this is about actually reflecting what they're saying back to them. Not like parrot talk, not like saying exactly what they're saying. That would be frustrating and annoying, right? But think about the goal is understanding. And what I would say is understand the speaker. That doesn't mean I can feel like I understand Ange, okay? That's one thing. But the important piece is, does Angela feel understood by me? And at the end of this interaction, that's the goal, is that the speaker feels understood. Does that make sense? So they're able to say, yes, I feel understood by you, because when there's that understanding, there's safety. Then we're able to move into maybe problem solving if we need. But sometimes just creating that understanding relieves tension, and that's enough. We don't need to move on. Think about how listening is a gift. How often do we sit down and set aside kids, work, distraction, technology, and sit across from each other and just focus on listening to each other? Not speaking at the same time. Sometimes what we do is we have two speakers and no listener, right? It leads to escalation. But how often do we say, you know what, tonight I'm going to go home and I'm going to focus on active listening to my spouse? Think about the last time that your spouse did that and what that felt like for you. Just to hear you. right? And so that's what we're going to focus on. So, tips. Listen for personal emotions, interpretations, and desires. The idea is communication is much more than the words that I say, right? If I'm standing in front of you and I say, guys, I am really excited to be here. Do you believe me? Do you believe what I'm saying? No. It's our facial expression, tone of voice, body language, eye contact actually are just as important, if not more important, than the words that we communicate. So the gift of understanding and listening is, this is the message I hear you communicating with me. Not just your words, but this is the message I get. Because if that message is incongruent, then guess what we get to do? Okay, help me understand more. You're saying this. This is what I'm capturing. If we're off, let's talk about it. Right? Because often what we do is, so the speaker, so let's say I'm the speaker, Ange is the listener. Let me flip that. Ange is the speaker, I'm the listener, and she says something, okay, and communicates with me as the speaker. I'll start to respond to what she said rather than reflect what she said and validate what she said. So what we're looking for in this exercise is two things, okay? And you have this on the handout that we gave you. So during this time, what we want you to do is we want you to split up roles. One of you will be the speaker. One of you will be the listener. As you are in the listening role, what we want you to focus on is what's the message that your spouse is communicating? What's the essence of what they're saying? And also focus on recapping statements. So these are on your cards. You can use them. Maybe your spouse tends to be an expander, which means they talk and talk and use lots of words, and then you get lost. Say, hold on a second. You're saying some important things. Slow down. Let me reflect, right? Let me summarize what you just said, okay? Or from your point of view, you think and feel this. Is that it, or is it something else? Okay? Recapping statements. The other thing is validation statements is, I understand how you could feel that way. It makes sense to me. Here's the thing we want to separate. Validation doesn't mean agreement, right? Sometimes it feels that way. If I validate how they feel, that means I agree with them. Time out. No, that's before agreement, right? Validation is just like, I'd be frustrated too if that happened to me, right? And we want to connect with that. And, you know, I see your tears and I see how upset you are, right? And so these are validations. So as the listener, what we want you to do is focus on hearing, reflecting, or recapping, reflecting, and validating statements.
Just one quick point here, too. If you are, if you're kind of a thinker or a logical type person, this kind of thing could become frustrating to you. These aren't the only four statements you can use, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't your only four options, and these aren't your only four options here. There's a lot of ways you can recap, and there's a lot of ways you can validate. Yeah. And frankly, actually, what will need to happen over time is you need to kind of use statements that are your own.
Mm-hmm.
Katie's been very good at calling me out on that. Sometimes when she hears a certain phrase, she's like, "Oh, I know what you're doing. Here's your trained, here's your trained little, formula phrase. This is what you say to do that." And the reality is, communication is an art, right? And so if you're a little bit more of a feeler and naturally gifted at that, this probably happens already. Mm-hmm. Just happens already because of who you are. But if it's not as natural to you, we offer these up as ways to get started, or just phrases and things to think about getting into the conversation, realizing that you can take them and tweak them and make them your own. But the heart of recapping and the heart of validating is extremely important in listening.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. Very good. All right. So, yes.
How can you disagree with a person when you're validating? I mean, how can you do that and not offend the other person?
Yep, that's a good question. So in this particular skill, we would say disagreement comes later. Validation comes first so that the speaker feels understood. And then what we do is we switch roles, okay? So that the listener becomes the speaker becomes the listener, and at that point, you can share your perspective, and your spouse then focuses on validation. Does that make sense? So definitely disagreement, you know, needs to be shared. We need to talk about that. But sometimes what we find in interactions and communication is we're actually arguing over not feeling understood and not necessarily about what we disagree on. And that's what we're trying to challenge. That's not always true, but oftentimes that's what happens, is you just don't get me, right? And so I get louder, or I shut down and withdraw. So good question. Okay, so here's the exercise we'd like you to do. Again, this seems basic, and on one level it is basic, but when we do this well, and often, think about how much we communicate during a week that's non-logistical, that isn't about work, about other things, but about what's going on in my heart. That's really what this is about. So we're going to ask you to turn towards each other and begin a conversation. One spouse initiates with a connection question, which we'll have connection questions on the next slide that you can use. The other spouse listens, not asking questions, but simply reflecting and validating, using eye contact. So as the listener, focus on what your spouse is saying. Focus on tracking with them, tuning in with them, right? And then we're going to switch, meaning you'll get a chance to play both roles. Yep, go ahead.
It's okay to have the card in front of you. It's okay to kind of look at that card. This is going to be a little bit more formal, but the idea is to this is deliberate practice, right? The idea is to put this into practice.
Yep. And remember, I really like this idea that to listen is to lean in, speak softly, you know, and have a willingness to be changed by what we hear. How often do we go in listening to our spouse with an attitude that I'm going to be changed by what we hear, rather than I'm going to change them by what I hear, right? Maybe that's just me. I don't know. okay, and then we'll ask you to share out. So let's go on to the connection questions. So what we'd like you to do is, as a speaker, you, I guess I didn't really think of this. As a speaker, they pick the question they're going to answer.
As a speaker, you're going to pick one of these questions up here, right? And they're in several different categories. Some can go a long way. Some are a little bit more straightforward. But pick one and start the conversation. And the listener's job is to reflect back and seek for understanding.
And use your card.
Yeah. Maybe have an agreement about which question you're going to talk about.
So that might be helpful.
Should be able to pick it up pretty quickly. But So we're going to take about 10 minutes total, maybe 5 total, and we'll have a couple minutes with the conversation. And then after that, Caleb will stop you, and we'll split and switch roles and go the other way. So,
okay. Yeah.
So have at it.
So what we'd like to know from the group first, when you were took the speaker role, what's one word to describe your experience? What one word would you say about what that experience was like for you being in the speaker role and having your spouse engaging these active listening skills?
A loving relationship.
Loving relationship.
I'd say really insightful.
Insightful. Yeah.
Validating.
Mm-hmm. Comfortable.
Uncomfortable.
I was going to ask that. Was it uncomfortable?
Okay.
This is that skill that isn't natural at first, but the more you intentionally work into it, it becomes more of just how you do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but have the thought of, are we really struggling this much with this? You know, from a high level, it seems like, why do we need a course to know how to have a conversation?
Yeah.
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 Gotcha.
No, it's amazing how quickly we fall, you know, all of us fall into patterns of behavior, and we assume that that's just fine and okay, and we don't approach it with that kind of attitude of growth, saying, sure, we might be okay, but could we get better? And could we get better? And could we get better? Mm. You know, and that's really a great piece.
How about the list? Let's switch quick, and we need to keep going. But how about the listener? We said the role of the speaker. What was it like to be a listener?
Enlightening.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn something new? Did you learn something new about your spouse? Do you feel like you did?
Mm-hmm. What comes to mind to me is hopeful. Mm. We were having a reflection time and talking about things are good, but we can go much deeper.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
And
yeah.
Just this exercise is like there's
that's good.
Hope of, mm-hmm. You know, we can do that.
Let's keep moving, and I want you just to kind of think of that and chew on that a little bit. We're going to go on to the next skill, okay, and spend a couple minutes on that, and you're going to have another chance to do another activity here in about 5 minutes, okay? So the second skill is on making clear requests, and just one kind of formulaic statement or one option we're going to share with you on how do you kind of get into your conversations. And so for this one, we're talking about maybe a conversation that has a little bit of tension to it, okay? This isn't a how is the weather day question, right? This is something where there's a potential for a little bit of conflict. And you know, the question to reflect on is, do you normally go into those type of conversations with emotion, or do you normally go into those types of conversations with fact? You know, fact or emotion? And emotion in a bad sense. We're always going to have emotion, but emotion in a bad sense. Okay. So here's the statement. It's called state. Okay. So how do you get into a more difficult conversation? We're going to state our path. Okay. State our path. And each one of those stands for something. And I'll walk it through, and then I'll walk it through in more detail. So let's say I'm going to have a more difficult conversation with my wife, and I am the speaker. I'm the initiator. I'm going to get in there by sharing my facts first, telling my story or my interpretation of those facts, and then asking for input or asking for her side of the story, so to speak, right? Now, you're probably thinking, well, I knew that, right? We've learned that from little on up, right? But the reality is, how often do we actually practice it that way, right? Knowing it and actually doing it is a couple of different things. That's how you do it. Share your facts, tell your story, ask for others' paths. The how is just your demeanor. And the T and the E talk about talking tentatively, not absolutely, not with this attitude that I have it completely and totally figured out and I'm interrogating, but talking tentatively and encouraging testing. In other words, you're getting into this type of conversation with a desire to seek to understand or desire to know more. Okay? So a little bit of a deeper dive here. Okay? We share the facts first. I'll give you an example that may or not be close to real life. I have a tendency that I like, and I think those of you that were in the other session heard this example before, but I like to do kind of a check-in call on my way home from work. I have like a half hour, 45-minute commute, and I like to call, and it seems like every time when I call, she'll answer the phone, but there's always like a lot of background things going on there. There's dishes clanging, there's water running, there's kid noise, there's all kinds of things going on there, right? And it seems like in my head that that's happening every single time I'm trying to have a conversation with my wife, you know? In that situation, in that scenario, what are the facts of what's going on? What are the facts of what's actually going on? The reality is, right, you know, I'm making a phone call. The reality is there's noise in the background. The reality is there's, it's hard to sometimes hear the voice or something. I'm speakerphone, you know, somewhere, you know, wherever, so on and so forth, right? Those are things I can share as facts. But the second piece is, quickly, I think sometimes those facts jump into a story or an interpretation, what are interpretations, and I share out here, what are interpretations that I could draw from that? What are interpretations that I'm going to want to draw from those facts that are going on there?
She's too busy
for to take a moment and listen to me. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not as important as dinner. Or why are you prioritizing X, Y, and Z over that or something like that, right? So you start to get these emotions or these interpretations. I mean, facts happen to us all the time. There's all kinds of things that come, that are part of our dialogue, part of our interactions. But also into those facts, there's a lot of assumptions. There's a lot of stories. There's a lot of emotions and feelings that we put on that, that if I'm not careful, I start to drive my conversations based upon those emotions and feelings into the facts. So it's a very different situation starting a conversation with my wife saying, honey, when I called this afternoon, there was a lot of background noise on the phone. Versus, honey, why don't you have time to take my phone call and prioritize me? I have a little bit of prediction of which one's going to go a little bit better as far as the conversation goes, right? But you see the simple difference of starting with facts or starting with story, starting with emotion, starting with interpretation. And so one of the basic pieces of this skill is that you discipline yourselves to really narrow down and say, what's the facts of what's going on? If I've been late for dinner once, don't say you've been late for dinner every time. If I'm 20 minutes late, don't say you're 3 hours late, right? I mean, kind of throw out the, or don't say you don't care about me at all or whatever. Throw out the interpretation first off and then state with the facts. Mm-hmm. And I think, so start with the facts and then tell your story. Don't leave your story behind. That's part of what's going on there. But start with the facts and get into the conversation. Then just tell your story. I mean, there's a great stem here. Based on these facts, I'm beginning to conclude. Again, that's pretty formal speak, but make it into your own. And share the story with them. And then the last piece is ask for the other person's point of view. It's a huge piece. So kind of three steps there. Share the facts, tell the story, ask for the other person's point of view. Yes?
What do you mean by watch for safety problems?
So great point. We can share our story, and if instantly the other our spouse in this case is starting to kind of shut down and flood and get defensive and get angry, that's going to detract from the conversation, from the intent here. Okay, so let's take a breath and then go on, because frankly, when I start to, I have some pretty nasty, if I'm honest with myself, I have some pretty nasty stories in my head, some pretty selfish stories. Some pretty selfish interpretations of behavior. And it's important to get those out on the table a little bit, but it's important to get them out on the table in a way that can be received by the spouse so you can start to actually continue that conversation. Mm-hmm. And if the safety gets threatened or if the intensity level gets up too, then it might be time to kind of stop for just a second. And that actually gets into the third skill just a little bit. But anything else to share with that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, I agree. And I think we're using this as a skill to use as couples. But think about this just individually. By the very fact that we start separating out our facts from our stories, actually, if we call it a story, helps de-escalate us, right? Because oftentimes what we believe is our stories are facts, which then leads to a conversation where we're coming into that conversation in an elevated manner. Yeah. So self-reflecting and saying, you know what, I'm holding this story tentatively. This is just what I'm beginning to conclude, but I don't know that to be true. Because if a third party were to show up on this scene, they wouldn't conclude that, right? And so that very fact can help begin putting us in a helpful place, healthy place, to convey a message with our spouse that isn't blaming.
Yeah.
Or doesn't lead to defensiveness. Now, that happens sometimes, but
yeah. So the third part, the A of it, is ask for the other person's path. So it's kind of how you know, ask for the other person. So tell me your side of the story, so to speak, or let me hear what your perspective is. And then the last two, again, they're on your card, but the last two are fairly self-explanatory. It's a very different situation when you go into something as an interrogator, trying to push your point of view across onto your spouse, versus going into a more difficult conversation with a tentative, true desire to want to learn their side of the story. That's the encouraging testing and the talk tentatively here. Phrases like, do you see it differently, or what am I missing, or I was wondering if you don't, you know, so on and so forth. Now, you can be too passive. Right, you can be a doormat, right, and just the sense that there's any type of contradiction from this, you can just okay, shut down. That's got to find that balance, right? You want to be tentative, but you don't want to be overly passive because you are trying to communicate. We should never feel fearful to communicate the facts that we've seen and are the story that we're beginning to interpret from those facts. But again, it's very different if you're going in there seeking to understand versus if you're going in there trying to persuade to your point of view. Okay, and that's a key piece.
Yep, and if you do feel fearful, that's a good thing to use the state with.
Yeah.
Right? If you think about it, if I feel...
Yes,
right. Yep, there's some stories probably going on there that need to be shared. And say, I don't know, but this is what I might be getting to conclude.
Right? Yeah. So let's get into a practice with this. I keyed up a simple example, okay? And maybe this is not close to home, or maybe it is. And you can use your own if you want to be so brave. But think about kind of a minor level tension that you could have in your situation. So in this situation, the husband comes home 45 minutes late for dinner without notifying his wife. This is not the first time this has happened. I'll leave that up to you to say if it's every day or if it's five times or whatever. This is your story. Think about how you would start this discussion using the state method. So one person's the initiator, one person's the communicator, one person is the receiver. You come home late, 45 minutes, I would like it'd be more helpful if the wife was the initiator. And start with facts. Build up a story if you don't have one in here. If this is a common occurrence, maybe you already can honestly share some stories that you have in your head. Share your story and ask for their point of view. And then after a little bit, we're going to switch roles and have you do that on your own. So just think about kind of walking through that state piece, okay? Facts, story, ask for their person's point of view, okay? Go ahead and turn towards each other and get started. So once you have stated your side, then feel free to kind of switch roles and do it again. And if there's a real kind of thing you need to talk about, here's a great opportunity in a controlled environment to bring that in there with a counselor in your midst. Hey. Okay, so let me bring you back up here to the front, and at a very high level, okay? And this is just a skill to think about. It's not meant for you to have to roll through the whole Rolodex of STATE each time you're trying to do it or whatever, but the gist of it, I think, is really key. Tell me what, anybody have any thoughts? What was something, was it effective? Was it not effective? Was it different? Was it insightful? Any thoughts as you kind of got into this?
I thought it was helpful. I kind of told Chris I'm going to try and play devil's advocate and kind of make it hard, like play kind of a harder role.
Yep.
To respond to.
Yep.
But just following this, I still felt like even after I respond, and I was like, well, following this, it still makes it easier to resolve it. Even when I was trying to make it tough wrong, for example, I just still think it easier.
Sure, sure.
Communicate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that story concept, that story concept can go really deep. There's a lot of stories we tell ourselves. And those stories can be ruminating for years sometimes. And in our relationship, they can be kind of have built rooms and mansions kind of deep underneath there somewhere, right? And if we're not careful, then lots of times the conversations we have can start to be about the stories and not about the facts. And it's a really important discipline to separate out the fact from the story and to try as much as possible to lean into that with that. If you've ever managed employees, this comes in very helpful at times when you're managing employees, right? And talking facts and not story, you know, and interpretation and that kind of thing. And it's a healthy self-awareness piece. We're going to keep, just for the sake of time, we're about out of time, but there's one more skill we want to just talk through, and Caleb will talk through that briefly, and we'll go from there.
Okay. All right. So the next one, in this case, contrasting to bring clarity. So this skill, and you can just go ahead and go to the next one here, Arlen, is when there's a situation when your spouse did something and you want to clarify. So this is a clarifying statement that is used that doesn't feel blaming. So let's separate it first from apologizing. Arlen and Matt talked about apologizing last night, okay? So when we feel that there's not mutual respect or safety, like we talked about, apology actually can be a really helpful thing. That when we mean the apology, right, it must be sincere, not just apologizing to appease, but to apologize to create safety. But if there's misunderstanding, that's where the contrasting statement comes in. So a contrasting statement is actually fairly straightforward, as you read there. There's a don't part. So whenever we confront or whenever we bring up an issue with our spouse, there is something that we fear they're going to conclude, okay? We're going to fear that they're going to conclude that we just don't care about them. Or we fear that we're going to conclude that they're just completely irresponsible when it was just one specific thing, right? So the I don't part says, I don't mean to question your intentions. I do want to clarify decision making. What we often go with is, this is what I want. And we leave our spouse to conclude the other. So we automatically start with, I want you to know, I don't intend to, in this case, question your intentions. What that does is build safety, right? As we bring that up to them. So addresses the other concerns that you don't respect them or that you have malicious purpose. Actually, I'm bringing this up because I think it's helpful for our relationship, right? It's not apologizing. Provides context and proportion, useful for prevention or first aid. So in other words, it's useful to prevent an argument, but if one begins to start to unfold, it can be helpful to slow it down.
Mm-hmm. The visual I always think about like this is that you're putting parentheses around the conversation. You're putting brackets around it, saying this is what it is about, this is what it's not about. You're kind of putting stuff on the outside. And sometimes if you know it's going to be a kind of a tense conversation, this is what that prevention piece is. If you know it's going to potentially be a tense conversation, sometimes this can be an extremely helpful way, as Caleb said, to dispel the fears that your spouse might be coming into the conversation with. You started off by saying, I am not trying to do this, right? I'm putting parentheses here, but I am wanting to talk about this situation. It just kind of helps kind of level the ground. Or in the midst of a conversation, kind of that first aid idea, that in the midst of a conversation, if the tension starts to rise and saying, you know, I'm not trying to start an argument here, but I do want us to feel free to have an open conversation about this. Again, you're putting parentheses around and dispelling some of the myths that could be happening there.
Yeah. So you want to go to the next...
We probably don't have time to do this.
Yeah, we don't. We're kind of out of time.
But here's a great, so this is just so this is your, on your drive home, okay? Here's where you get to have a conversation. Just a fake scenario here, right?
Fake.
Your wife, Your wife, sorry, I didn't mean to be biased here, but your wife schedules her third girls' night in the past 2 weeks without consulting the husband. The husband should begin the conversation about his frustration by using a contrasting statement to clarify the communication. How would you get into that, right? How would you get into that conversation without, you know, ratcheting up the tension, so to speak, at the beginning? Right? And that's where a contrasting statement sometimes could really be a helpful starting point there. So I don't know. I mean, if you had any other thoughts with that, Caleb, or any...
Yeah, I mean, in situations like this, I think one of the things that can be helpful is just to sit down and reflect. What am I fearful the wife's going to conclude when I approach her? Right?
Can you just clarify what the connection was with the apology part? I guess I was just kind of confused why you paired that with why you were clarifying that it wasn't an apology.
Yeah. So... When there's not mutual respect in the relationship, so when you don't feel like there's respect between each other, we want to mend that first through an apology, even before this happens. Okay? And so that's what we wanted to separate is this contrasting statement isn't intended to build respect. It's intended to build purpose and understanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
But sometimes we can think, well, I apologize, that should be enough, right? And we can stop there, and then we can get into these conversations or into these tension spots and not build upon the next level, which is kind of a little bit more where that's at.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you what I would say in this, and you tell me what I should say.
Okay. Okay. You should ask your wife that.
I would say something. I'm glad one of us is getting to have some fun.
Oh.
I'm just being
honest. Sure. Yeah. So.
I wouldn't know how to go into that because I would probably be upset about it. And
right.
I can see where it starts to turn off. I would like to know what would be a better direction to go.
Sure. That's a good question. Yeah. So. By you approaching her about this tension, what are you fearful that she might conclude by you coming up and bringing this situation up to her?
I was being selfish.
You were being selfish by?
Not wanting her to have.
Not wanting to. Yeah.
Or controlling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So that's what you're fearful of. You don't want her to think that you're selfish.
I'm not really fearful of anything. I'm upset.
So one of the things that,
I'm serious.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that we're getting at is part of communicating this is there's a whole emotional context around it. I think you hit on this earlier, was in here, I'm able to see, wow, that's really not that big of a deal. You know, this last 45 minutes late, whatever. And so there's a whole emotional context, I think, around that interaction that fuels, you know, that negative interaction, blame. And so part of this is us being self-aware, kind of what we talked about in the main session, to calm down a bit and to say, okay, let me reel back, right? What is it? What is my purpose in approaching? At the end of the day, I don't want to blast her. I mean, that's not my purpose.
And
my purpose,
I don't want to be controlling.
And I don't want to
call
be controlling.
It out there. I'm not trying to be controlling or I'm not trying to keep you from having fun, but I would like to talk about how things get scheduled around here or having a conversation about talking to or mutually talking to each other before we schedule certain things,
so
something like that.
I hear you say that, and I think of people who say, well, you know, I'm not trying to be critical here, and then they turn around and there's critical.
Oh, yeah.
When you say, I don't really want to talk about this, but when the conversation goes awry, it always ends up going to those things you don't want to talk about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe you're not having the same conversations we have.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I think this is great in 45 minutes.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, and there's a lot more we could unpack with that. But part of it is like I said, that emphasis or that idea that you get into a conversation, you try to put a little bit of parentheses around, dispel the fears that the individual might be coming into it, and really kind of hone into what is the issue or what is the story I'm trying to address here or the reality I'm trying to address. And that helps, can often help a lot of keep it on topic.
My wife and I have a great relationship.
Sure.
We do have an
hospital. Yep.
I think part of it too is like the clarifying statement at the beginning can almost be like for your own benefit of like.
Absolutely.
Going in this kind of
self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Try to be critical about this.
This is what I really want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To have like a component for your own mentality as you go into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's grabbing the being.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
Absolutely.
Yep.
There's so much more we could talk about. You're right. 45 minutes, maybe a lot more we could chew with this one. So thank you so much for coming. Take your cards with you, and we'll be really glad to have you here.
It's been good to be with you. Yep. Yeah.